This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
From Autosport.com and Autosport Magazine, I'm Kevin Turner, and this is the Autosport Podcast. Well, we're at Wet Silverstone, which always seems to be the case at the moment, to talk to one of British single-seater's rising stars. He's one of five Brits actually doing the FIA Formula 3 Championship in 2024, which is quite a remarkable percentage to the grid, really. Lots of good young talent around. Welcome back to the Autosport Podcast, because you have been here before. Cannon Voisin, how are you doing?
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm doing well.
Good stuff. So, so you're doing Formula 3 with Rodin Motorsport, which was Rodin Carlin, which was Carlin before that. And you are very familiar with those guys, with the engineers, with the team. Was that a sort of big factor in sort of sticking with them? Because obviously they haven't got the strongest F3 form in recent years. But did you feel that familiarity was quite important as you sort of step up from GB3?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, they really wanted me. I already knew the team. Obviously, as you said, familiarity was a big thing for me. So, yeah, look, it was for me, it was the right choice to stay with them. And as you said, not the best form in recent years, but for me, that's kind of more exciting. You know, being able to get this opportunity to, let's say, build up a team and, you know, build the team around me and get them back up to winning races for me is much more exciting.
Is that something you quite enjoy, the sort of engineering, working with the data, all that sort of stuff, sort of
well,
off
I
track?
Mean, I guess, you know, the last 2 years I've been very fortunate. I've gone straight into the, you know, let's say a front-running team in GB3, so I haven't had to build anything up because, you know, the guys were already, you know, very knew what they were doing. But for me this year, you know, it's an amazing opportunity to race on the Grand Prix tracks, race alongside Formula One in front of, you know, the big boys. So, you know, for me to be able to do that and, you know, stay with the Rodin family, it was, yeah, very important to me.
You've got quite an interesting dynamic within the team, haven't you? Because you've got Joseph Loke as your teammate. He's also making the step up from GB3. You beat him to the GB3 title. He won the Aston Martin Autosport BRDC Young Driver of the Award last year. So what's your relationship? You must know each other pretty well already going into the new season. So is that something you're kind of looking forward to? Is it a working together thing or is it a bit of rivalry, a bit of both?
No, I think, you know, in fairness, so far we've worked pretty well together. I think, you know, as you said, we've gotten to know each other over the last, you know, 12 months or so. So, you know, look, for me, it's, I think it's a good opportunity to, you know, well, try and beat each other for sure, but, you know, build a good relationship. And, you know, we know that we're both good peddlers, so we can, certainly try and get the guys back up to the front.
And as it helps in testing, you're both stepping up from the same kit as well. So the same chassis, the same tyre that you're now changing into an F3 car with the Pirelli. So you're going through a very similar journey, I suppose. Has that helped compare notes?
For sure. I mean, I think it would is definitely better than, let's say, I did Frecker or whatever, or Joe did Frecker compared to EFO, you know, a different kind of similar level of racing and then moving up to F3. I think both of us moving from GB3 to F3, we've got a very similar, you know, feel for the car. We've got similar, let's say, you know, preferences and stuff like that. So for sure, you know, having that consistency for the team is better because they get more consistent feedback and stuff like that. Especially in a championship with such limited running, it's, you know, very important.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's the sort of biggest change from a driving point of view going from the GB3 car to the F3? I mean, is it everything? Look on your face suggests it's everything. But I mean, would it be downforce, I guess, would be one, and maybe the tyre as well?
Definitely the tyre. I think the tyre is a huge difference. You know, in GB3, you can do, it's, let's say, in a qualifying kind of simulation, you can do 5 push laps in a row or something, whereas in F3 you only get one. So, you know, the tyres are so soft, they only really are in the sweet spot window for one lap. Very rarely you'll get a second lap out of it. So getting on it kind of quickly is the main thing I'd say. And also when you come to race runs, it's a completely different kettle of fish. You go from, you know, doing extreme fast lap times to being 5 or 6 seconds slower in some cases in the race. So yeah, it is a huge difference for sure. A lot more fuel, less downforce to, you know, help with overtaking and stuff in the races. So yeah, it is quite different to GB3.
Yeah, and what would be a sensible target for you then this year? Do you have something in mind that you'd like to achieve by the end of 2024? Or you kind of just sort of sucking it and see where are we at with that?
I could be boring and I could say, look, I'll do my best and whatever, especially, you know, let's say in a team that hasn't done amazingly over the last few years. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a racer. I want to win. I want to get on the podium. As an end championship position, honestly, I have no clue. But I think if I could, you know, by the end of the year, have an array of podiums and, you know, at least one win, I'll be quite happy.
Yeah, no, you've got to be aiming for the top, haven't you?
Whatever, for sure. The circumstances, I think if you're not, there's no point turning up.
So yeah. And of course, you won, interestingly, because you were one of the star rookies in GB3 in 2022. And then you were one of the favourites going into 2023. But you had sort of an interesting season. There weren't a huge number of wins, but your consistency was, you know, I mean, that's kind of, you got you well ahead in the end, didn't it? So was that a deliberate sort of mentality of just got to keep banking points because the championship is the thing? Was that, you know, behind your strategy?
Definitely. I think in 2022, I had more wins, but at the same time, the lows were way too low. You know, it was not a championship fight. It wasn't good enough to fight for the championship with Luke or Joel or whoever was in the championship fight as well. So for me, it was very important to keep banking in points and, you know, scoring podiums all the time. You know, sometimes if you need to back off and, you know, score some, you know, let's say settle for P2 rather than trying to push and, you know, crashing out trying to fight for P1, for sure, you know, going for the podium is a better shout for championship wise. So yeah, it did mean perhaps, you know, fewer wins and not as many as I wanted, but at the end of the day, I won the championship. So for me, I'm not too, you know, I'm not losing sleep over it.
No, that's fair enough. And that championship win did obviously get you into the Young Driver Award finalist. We haven't really spoken to you since then. So obviously that was the Motorsport Vision Formula 2 car, the Aston Martin GT3 and the United All Sports Run Ligier LMP3. How did you find those three very? It was very unusual for a young driver to get the chance to jump into three different cars across 2 days. So yeah, how was that?
Oh, for sure. You know, as an opportunity to, you know, drive three different cars I've never driven before, all very different kind of disciplines of race cars. It was amazing. I did love it. The 2 days were pretty surreal. The atmosphere is so strange, to be honest. It's unlike anything you've ever done before. Well, for starters, they take away your phone, which is quite weird in this day and age. But no, I loved it. You know, I was, at the end of the day, I was disappointed in the end result, but, you know, I can't look back at it and, you know, lose sleep over it. I enjoyed it a huge amount, and for sure it was one of the best experiences I had.
No, that's good. I mean, I love it, but then it's easy for me to say that as I'm fortunate to be one of the judges. But I mean, it really was, you know, impressive this year, really close. Very difficult decision. Some years are quite straightforward, and others are not so much. So that was definitely one of those. Well, let's look back a little bit further. So how did your enthusiasm, you know, passion for motorsport begin? What point? I mean, obviously your brother Bailey is also in racing. He's pretty handy GT and LMP3 driver himself. So where does this sort of family passion, enthusiasm for racing come from?
It is a good question because I am the first kind of generation driver of my family. My parents have got nothing to do with the racing. They've never done, you know, anything of that sort. Funnily enough, it's not really my brother either. I actually kind of started before him. I think as soon as he saw me kind of doing go-karting, he thought, oh yeah, I'd give that a go type thing.
And you're the younger one, though, aren't you?
I'm so the
you're
sort of one, sitting yeah.
there. Oh, when you're the old, I'm the older brother of two. Like, you've got to go and beat your younger brother.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
yeah,
just
I
not
think
acceptable.
That was probably the but I think, as I said, it is interesting because I'm not 100% sure why, but I think it's because when I was younger, 3 or 4 years old, I used to live in Monaco for a few years, very very short period of my life. But every year you're obviously lucky enough to watch the Grand Prix, and the Grand Prix is the big thing in Monaco. Everybody has heard of the Monaco Grand Prix. So I think hearing of it, seeing all the supercars, all the Formula One cars going around, it's quite a special thing when you're young and stuff like that. Obviously back then it was 2008, 2009, so the cars were loud. Very, very loud. I used to hate it, in fairness.
That was the V8 era, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But then after that, it kind of went a bit quiet. But then when I was kind of 10, 11, you'd start getting invited to karting birthday parties and stuff. That was the thing to do kind of at that age, certainly in my friend group or whatever. So, I enjoyed it a lot. Got decent at it, and then I guess my dad made either a good decision or a bad decision to take me to a proper go-kart track and try out some race karts.
Yeah, they must be wondering what happened if they weren't into most racing, suddenly have the two kids into it. That's,
yeah, exactly.
That's pretty amazing. Not sure what they've done right or wrong there. I'm not sure. I have to think about that.
I'm not sure.
Well, you mentioned obviously Monaco there, and you're going to get to race there this year. So is that the race you're looking forward to?
Precisely. It's good that you come on to that, actually, because, I am looking forward to that. I think first time on a street circuit. Well, it will be my second time after Melbourne, but...
Nah, it doesn't count.
Yeah,
that's a park.
Having not been on a street circuit before, Monaco, kind of coming back to where I used to live and stuff like that, where I used to watch the Grand Prix. No, I'm looking forward to it a huge amount. I love the place. Nice weather. Yeah, honestly, I cannot wait. It's an amazing place.
Oh, you've done it now. It's going to be a deluge.
Oh, yeah, really? That's true. Now I've said it. What is it? It's during May, isn't it? So it'll probably just be... torrential rain.
Well, let's hope not, because I think Monaco is challenging enough without throwing a bucket load of water over it as well. So looking away from racing now, I've asked this question before, and perhaps it's a stupid question given that you guys are now in the sim, in the gym, on track, whatever, but when you're not thinking motor racing, what is it that you like to do to wind down, to chill out? What's your hobby?
I'll be honest, at the moment, I'm not sure when this is coming out, but at the moment I'm still at school, so I am very busy. I hardly have any time off, to be honest. I'm, if I'm not at the racetrack, I'm at school, doing my normal day-to-day kind of life. But in fairness, that ends quite soon because I'm in my last year, so I don't have too long left. But I'd say, let's say during the weekend when I don't have much going on, I'm not sure. I want to get more into golfing. Obviously, a lot of simming, a lot of gymming and stuff like that. But that's kind of the normal stuff. But yeah, I'd say that's what I do. Yeah. I mean, nothing too special, but I want to get into more stuff when I've got a bit more time.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. No, I think when I rang you to tell you were a finalist last year, I think you were in school. You had to ring me back
I had to ring you back, yeah.
So, yeah, I know. I think it's remarkable how you guys sort of balance all that. I mean, is that quite challenging? Do you have to get the school's permission to sort of be out for tests and practice sessions and all that sort of stuff and make up for it other times?
Precisely, because I live abroad in Geneva. I'm at boarding school at school, so I can't lie and just say I've got a sick day type thing. So I can't just kind of call in and say, oh, I've got a cold or whatever. So no, when I tell them, I have to be straight up. I do have to get their permission, but in fairness, they've been very good. As long as I catch up the work, they don't really have a problem with it. It is difficult at the end of the day, balancing 3A levels, doing let's say a normal education, when you're racing around the world and on the Formula One package, is not easy. I'd say in GB3 it wasn't too bad because the commitment wasn't, let's say, as much. I mean, there's still a lot of commitment, but considering it was in the UK, don't take as many days away and stuff like that. But for sure this year it'll be tough, but I know the deal, and yeah, we've just got to get on with it.
Yeah, well, we've seen with people like Lewis Hamilton, haven't we, that he didn't really develop like his music interest until he was already a multiple world champion. He could go, actually, chaps, I quite fancy just messing around in the hotel on my keyboard or whatever.
Precisely, especially when you've got this, you know, especially in this day and age, you've got such a short window to make it, you know, as a racing driver. You don't have many years. And obviously the money's not unlimited for sure. But so, you know, you've got this very short window to make it. And whereas, obviously, it's hard to say this, but education, you can do it whenever. So it is a bit of a tough balance, you know, deciding what to do and stuff like that. So I know a lot of people kind of don't do school when they're racing and stuff like that. But, you know, I think it's important for me to do both, just to, let's say, after a bad weekend, I can quite easily switch off because I'm back in the, you know, normal routine.
Is that something that you kind of came up with, or is it your parents saying, yes, we're going to do the racing, but you also have to do this? Like, how
I'd say it's definitely more my parents.
But you surprised me.
But in fairness, you know, looking back at it, I don't regret it at all. I think it's a good thing. You know, there was a point where I wanted to, you know, get away from school because, you know, it was getting in the way of my racing. But to be honest, now I'm kind of balancing it slightly better. I think, you know, it's definitely the right decision. I think to be able to come back and switch off very easily, because I think it's quite easy when you're a racing driver and you don't, you know, do anything else during the week. You're just kind of sitting there, and it's quite easy to overthink stuff. So I think when I'm at school, it doesn't allow me to do that anyway. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. Well, let's hopefully finish on a sort of a fun one. So is there anyone, it doesn't have to be motorsport, could be motorsport, but anyone that you sort of particularly admire, sort of a good role model, you know, someone that sort of you look up to?
That's a good question. Not kind of really. I don't really have somebody who I'm, you know, properly looking up to. I mean, obviously I grew up watching Lewis Hamilton when he was winning in, what was it, 2014 until, well, now really. But I'd say the person who kind of got me into racing was not actually a real person, but Lightning McQueen.
So, oh, right, okay. Yeah, oh, yeah, now yeah. You're making me feel old.
But yeah, so when I say that, people kind of get a bit shocked and whatever, but no, I'd say him, yeah.
No, I think Cars is a good film. I'm happily sitting there watching it with my kids.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Got some really good cameo performances as well. I was not expecting to be talking about Cars.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
So you've brought something new to the party.
Well, you
there.
Said a fun one. I thought I'd, you know.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Good out.
Well, look, Callum, thank you very much for joining us. Best of luck this year. Hopefully we'll catch up with you later in the season. I hope it goes well in F3. Thank you to the listeners for tuning in, and I do recommend keeping an eye on Callum and all the guys we've got in F3 this year. I think it's going to be a pretty competitive field, isn't it, Callum?
But I think, yeah, this year's going to be tight.
I think it's so unpredictable as well, isn't it, F3, and it can really change the course of the season. Carnage, you heard it here first. Yeah, okay, well, thank you very much, Callum. Thank you very much, listeners. We'll be back soon with another Autosport podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.